Today, mid-September, with our beautiful September weather, absolutely beautiful. That's a lie. My kids, they got so used. By the way, I'm Joe Crocker. I'm one of the elders here, and I'm also the family pastor. But my kids are so. My youngest Theodore, he gets so confused. Because it was such a nice summer, that when it's raining out, he goes, "Dad, why is it raining? It's so beautiful outside." He's just crushed with the rain. I know most of us are probably bummed out that we're back into September, unless you're a football fan and then you're rejoicing. But hey, I get the privilege and the opportunity to speak today, and it is a blessing to be able to do that. And one of my other thoughts on this blessing is that probably, I think it was like early spring. I don't really know the date or the time, and that's kind of irrelevant. But my wife and I began to lead our youth church along with an amazing group of youth leaders. And I just want to say what a privilege it is to have young teenagers here in our church. What a privilege it is to be able to speak into their life, to be able to tell them about Jesus, to have a great time. On last Tuesday, we had our back-to-school bash, and this entire building was dark, and there's black lights, and it was just like this giant glow party, festive night. And if you haven't seen pictures, you can look it up on Instagram or Facebook. We left a poster up there. If any of you happen to be carrying a black light flashlight around your pocket, that might be weird, but if you did, you could shine it over there, and it will glow. But the kids just, I think the kids had a great time. So for me, before we get into it, I just want us as a church to continue to pray for the young generation, to continue to wrap our arms around them, come alongside them and say, hey, we're for you. Hey, what are you going through? It doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter where you come from, but we can invest in the next generation, right? It's not just a few youth leaders. It takes a village to lead these kids, it really does. All right, so my hope is for them, though, in our message today, and my hope is for them and for us, is that we would see the authority of Jesus in our lives and in their lives, that they would submit to who Jesus is. So let's just pray. Thank you, Father, for today. Thank you for this amazing opportunity that we have to come and hear your word and that I get to share. Holy Spirit, would you come and pierce our hearts, open our hearts for what you would have to say today. It'd open our minds and just reveal who you are to us in a deeper way and allow us to realign ourselves to who you are. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. So just thinking about a Tuesday night and thinking about a Sunday morning, there's quite a lot more people on a Sunday morning than on a Tuesday night. We have about 25 kids. We can celebrate in that. And 25 kids, though, that my hope is that their relationship with Jesus is so dynamic that he changes their hearts for his glory, his kingdom, and his reign in their life. And that goes for us as well, okay? And that these students and us would say yes to Jesus when he's calling us. We would say yes to him when we realize where we're at right now in our walk with him. Or maybe we haven't even began our walk with him. And we would say yes to him. We would begin to walk alongside him, allow him, and that we'd submit to his authority. So we've been going through the book of John. And last week, Jordan preached on the pool of Bethesda, the lame, invalid man getting healed. He was 38 years old. This is the context, and I'm going to actually hit again on this, but he was healed on the Sabbath, right? But before we get into that, actually, I want to hit this. I don't want to share too much too soon. I don't want to ruin it for you since you already know the story, but all right, we have two attitudes. We can have two attitudes about Jesus. And these are pretty brutal. I kind of wanted to skip over this, but I feel like the Holy Spirit's telling me to share this anyway. There's two attitudes about Jesus that we can recognize. Either, for us, either We can reject him, or we can bow to him as Lord. And this is, turn to John 5:16 as I'm sharing this. Either he is Lord and King and God, or he is really nothing at all to us. There is no middle ground in our lives. After all, Jesus is Lord of all, or he is not Lord at all to us. Either we believe that he has the right to rule and reign, and that we're actively seeking how we could submit to him, or we're ruling our own lives. And so today, in this message that we have before us, Jesus is going to present, he's presenting in this text that we're going to read, he's presenting to them that he has all authority. He's presenting to us that he has all authority. All right, John 5:16-30. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." And this is why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making him equal with God. And Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly," and I love how when Jesus, when you're reading this in the ESV, he says, "Truly, truly," he's saying, "Listen, pay attention. I have something important to say here. I say to you, the Son of God can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing, and greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. And truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to live, to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, to life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. In verse 30, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. It's pretty powerful, huh? See, here we have this authority, this astounding authority of Jesus that he's presenting to us. We are all shown, along with the Jewish religious leaders in this passage, that he is Lord, that he is judge of all, and that he's equal with the Father. He has life in himself, and he gives life to whomever he pleases. So we can simply say that Jesus is Lord, but do we? So the context of this passage, where I was sharing earlier, is that Jesus had just healed a man who had been sick for 38 years, and because of that, the Jews began to persecute him. And I don't know about you, but if I'm hanging out at the pool, or I'm hanging out with friends, and this guy comes walking in, and we see him heal somebody, and this person gets up and walks, I don't know about you, but I think I'd be rejoicing, right? I'd be like, hallelujah, oh my goodness, did you just see this? This is amazing. Who is this guy? I would do everything I could to get as close to this guy as I could. As possible, as much as possible. But these guys realized that, oh my goodness, this guy broke the law, one. And then they're threatened because, like, oh man, this guy is the Son of God. He says he's the Son of God. We gotta get rid of him. If not, our rule and our reign and how we want to operate is going to disappear. And we won't have control or say over our own lives. so brutal thinking about that. It drives me crazy thinking that they're ticked off at Jesus when they could be rejoicing. But we need to learn from this, all right? But I don't know, in my own life, going back to the Sabbath, in my own life, a lot of times, I would just say, I want to get away. What's that, one of those commercials, you want to get away? Like something bad, your house floods or something, and you just want to get away from it all? Or you just want to get away from life? So, well, let's go on vacation, or let's just go take a deep breath and start all over. But really, when it comes to the Sabbath, it's like, oh no, let's take some time of rest and focusing on who Jesus is. Let's take some time of rest and seeking Him and relaxing and rejoicing in who He is for us. But oftentimes, I don't know about you, but for me, oftentimes it's like, oh, I just need to take a break. I just need to get away. Is that any of us today? You don't have to raise your hand, but I'm pretty sure it's most of us. So it's a way for us, as we look at the Sabbath, it's a way to rest, but then put Jesus in authority over our life. To say, He reigns supreme in our life. And we can rest in that. We can rejoice in that. Because there, as we go through this, we're going to have seven proofs of why Jesus should have His lordship and authority over our lives, all right? So we're going to have seven descriptive words here as we're going through this. And our first one today is that Jesus is equal to God. Can we say that Jesus is equal to God? Verse, good. Man, hallelujah, that worked out. Okay, Jesus, verse 17, John 5:17, He calls God my Father, not our Father, indicating that He has a special and unique relationship with God. And the Jews, they clearly understood this. They realized that not only was He breaking the Sabbath, but He was actually saying that He is one with God. So in all of these processes, we see these characters, right? We see how these guys could be really upset, but we could put ourselves in their story and realize that maybe in that context, we might be a little upset too because of how we've always thought who God was, right? We might want to hold fast because I know there's some traditions in our own lives that we want to hold fast to. There's some truths in our own lives that we want to hold fast to, but when we realize the truths that we are holding on to, they're really lies. The reality is that Jesus has the right to do whatever He wants, whenever He wants, however He wants. He has the right to do whatever He wants, whenever He wants, however He wants. Isn't that amazing? And we have the opportunity to say yes to Him. But I know there might be some fear for us to say, well, I have to submit, I have to lay down I have to give up all that I am for who He is. But we need to realize, as we'll get in the text, we'll realize why we need to do those things. Later He would say to the Jews, before Abraham, I am, taking the very name of God as the great I am. And He would say to Philip, if you've seen Me, you have seen the Father. He says, if you have seen Me, Jesus is saying these things. You have seen the Father. He's saying, I'm equal with God. I am God in the flesh. In Philippians 2:66, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God with something to be grasped. All right? So then proof two, He does what God does. Jesus does what He sees the Father doing. So in verse 19, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He can only do what He sees His Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. In other words, He can do as He pleases with man because He only does what God does. So if the Jews are condemning Jesus' work, they are condemning God Himself. So if we're condemning the work and rule and reign of Jesus, we're condemning God Himself. We're saying no to God Himself. You guys tracking with me? All right. The work of Jesus and the work of God are identical. He is equal with God, and His works are God's work. Hallelujah. Proof three, he has power over life and death. Jesus has power over life and death. He has power. Just to backtrack a little bit, Tamara came up. She said, there's somebody here hurting in their left leg. And that was me. There's a couple people. That was me. And I was like, oh my goodness. This is unbelievable. I'm excited that God is speaking to me right now. Hey, I want you to go in the back and get prayed for. I think I pinched my sciatic nerve again or something. But he has the power over life and death. He has the power to heal. He has the power to speak through us when we're willing to say yes to him and allow him to speak through us. And because of that, some people got to get prayed for today. Hallelujah. All right. So that's you on a Sunday morning, and you're like, man, I know God's speaking to me. Oh, but I don't want to come up and I don't know what to say. No, come up and say what God's sharing to you. It's for us. It's for the church. All right. So he has power over life and death. For the love of the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. This is verse 20. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raised the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he's pleased to give it. So beyond this claim that he's equal with the Father, he claims that he's also the Son of God. He claims that he's the Son of God and the giver of life. Because it says in verse 21, for as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. And I love in these couple scriptures in the Old Testament that they clearly teach that only God could give life or raise the dead to new life. In Deuteronomy 32:39, we read, now see that I, even I, am he, and there is no God beside me. This is paraphrased, by the way. I kill and I make alive, I wound and I heal, nor is there anyone who can deliver from my hand. 1 Samuel 2:6 states, the Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave, and he brings up to life. I don't know if we heard that. He brought us, we are in the grave, for those of us who are Christians now, and he brought us out of life, out to life. Hallelujah. He says that he's passed over death. We passed over death into life. Consequently, though, Jesus claims to be able to give life. Also, he's claiming to be God, and that really ticks the religious leaders off. It upsets them and makes them, again, just a reminder for us, it makes them plot to kill him. It makes them plot to kill Jesus. Because he says, even him now, he says, he will show him even greater things than these. He would do greater things in power and greater things in authority, greater things in power, such as raising people from the dead. I mean, if this is one point I really want us to get, okay? I mean, if people thought healing a sick man was something, they thought healing the guy at the pool was something, wait until Jesus raises Lazarus and Jairus' daughter and the widow's son, and wait, himself. They would see greater things than these, is what Jesus is saying, and greater in authority. And if the Jews thought Jesus was breaking one commandment, one of the Ten Commandments, but breaking the Sabbath, what about just waiting until God nails all of the law on the cross? Just wait until the sacrificial lamb of Jesus comes to the cross and he abolishes the law of sin, the law, which puts us always under sin. He abolishes the law, right? Okay. Do you think they're going to be amazed by that? I think some of them are still going to be ticked off, but I know we're amazed by that. I'm amazed by that to realize, wow, my sin is nailed on the cross of Jesus. His blood has covered my sin. His blood has covered all of our sin. Regardless if we want to accept that or not, he's died for our sin. And we can rejoice in that. In 1 Corinthians 15, 54 through 57, says, when the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he did when he died on the cross. Paul saying, O death, where is your sting? Hallelujah. I'm being a little patient in saying these because I'm trying not to cry, all right? All right, I'm pretty emotional sometimes. I don't think my wife thinks I'm very emotional sometimes, but I'm very emotional sometimes. Just kidding, honey, I love you. All right, Colossians 2, 13 through 14 says, and you who are dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, canceling the record of debt that stood against us with his legal demands that he set aside, nailing it to the cross. In other words, God forgave us our sins, having canceled the record of debt with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us, and he took it away, nailing it to the cross. Hallelujah. All right. Indeed, I love that word. Indeed, God would show us greater things than these, greater in power and greater in authority. He would not only heal the sick, he would not only raise the dead. And this shows us that Jesus is Lord of life. But not just Lord of life, but he's Lord over our lives. But how many of us today actually would say that he's truly Lord over our lives? How many of us today would say, well, he has authority in portions of my calendar. He has authority of portions in how I make decisions. Or he has authority in portions of how my wife and I make decisions, how we're moving forward. Or how many of us today would say that he has all authority and we're submitting to his will? Or some of us today might even be like, I haven't even thought about giving him authority. I mean, yeah, I became a Christian, but I really haven't said, oh, he's Lord over my life. If that's you today, we're going to pray for you at the end. For any of these things, we're going to be praying for you at the end. But he has the keys of death and of hell, and as Lord, he can cure sick people and raise dead people. As Lord, he can cure sick people and raise dead people, and he can bring them to life. And he can set them on a new way of life. So once we were once dead, but now we're alive. And so in this spiritually dead, we were once spiritually dead, and now we're spiritually alive because of who Jesus is. All right? Hallelujah. Yeah, you could clap for that. But these things are really the same thing to him. And I was doing some research on funerals that Jesus went to, And I truly believe that Jesus just loved to ruin funerals because he would go to a funeral or on his way to a funeral and he would just raise that person to life. You know, so Lazarus, he let him lay there for a while and then he raised him to life. Jairus' daughter raised her to life. I was just thinking about that in our context. Like if we were going to a funeral, which would be a bummer, nobody likes to go to funerals, and you're sitting there and Jesus just raises this person to life. That would be a miracle. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is in the business of ruining funerals. So, oh, I just spilled my water everywhere. Get baptized. All right, so. We could be excited that he has the power to do that. We could be excited that knowing that if we are praying and we're asking God to come in power, that we can see the sick healed. As an example, as a story, I've been really wrapping my mind around how I can tie in a good story into this. And back in the day when we were helping out with the youth, before we were helping out with the youth again, and then we were like, no, we're not going to ever do this again, and now we're doing it again. We began to pray, and there was this young lady who said, my mom, she has breast cancer. And she's going into pre-op, and she's going to have the surgery and all that. And there was, I don't know, quite a few of us in there, and we said, we're going to pray for your mom. So we prayed for her mom, and a couple weeks had gone by, and we're like, hey, how'd the pre-op go? How'd that go? And her reaction actually really ticked me off, but reaction is like, oh, God healed her. Thanks. And I'm like, seriously? That's your reaction? Like, I understand she's excited, but I don't know about you, but if that happened to somebody I knew, I'd be like, oh my goodness. Can you believe this? Can you believe we prayed for this lady? We don't even know her, but we asked that Jesus would heal her, and he did. And he shows his authority, his rule and reign, that he has the power to cure sickness. And our reaction is sometimes like, oh, yeah, God healed me, yeah. We should be like, oh my goodness. We should be telling people about these things. We should be sharing life with people and telling them what God is doing in our life. And telling them that he has the right to rule and reign in our life and be by us submitting to these things are happening. He is the judge, proof four, he's the judge of all the earth. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but he has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So if we're not seeking Jesus, if we're not honoring Jesus, we're not even honoring the Father. Are you guys following this? We need to seek Jesus. Why is this thing freaking out on me? All right. He has control over the whole judicial process, over our whole processes of life. Whatever plan that we think we have set in motion, he has control. And CJ, you're amazing. He is the judge of the living and of the dead. She even gave me ice. He is the judge of the living and of the dead. He is the judge. Did you get? He is the judge of the living and of the dead. There's a day that's coming when he's going to call, and I'm going to hit on this. He's going to call everybody out of their graves, and he's going to judge the righteous and the unrighteous. No man, no woman, no son or daughter, none of us are going to be able to flee from that day. He is the judge of all, and the Father gave him that authority. All right. Proof five, he has control over man's destiny. 5:24 through 25. She says, listen, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who has sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear his voice and the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. So often for us that are Christians, we say, oh yeah, I gave my life to Jesus. I gave my life to Jesus. I don't know how old I am now. How old am I? I'm going to be 37 tomorrow. So I gave my life to Jesus almost 20 years ago. And I would stand on that, but no, I gave my life to Jesus, because that's kind of like the reaction, like we walked up or however you want to say it. But really, Jesus revealed himself to me. Jesus called me out of darkness. He said, no, come, I'm the giver of life. Come, you are spiritually dead. You listen to alternative rock music, you know. You listen to some wretched music. You're not the greatest person. None of us are great people, good people, but he said, come and follow me. And for those of us today, we can, as I'm sharing this, I'm sure a lot of us are thinking back of that day when, oh yeah, that was that action point. I gave my life to Jesus. You did. You submitted that, but Jesus revealed himself to you. He chose you. He chose me. We can be excited about that. Yeah. It wasn't us that chose Jesus, but he chose us. And he bestowed his love on us. Therefore, we can say yes. We love, why? Because the Father, because Jesus loves us first. He's sovereign over our final destination. and he gives life to whoever he wants. I'm trying not to laugh, but a lot of times we think we have a say in some of these things. We think we do. I know I do. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I used to wear this cool shirt. I'm talking about the shirt because I was really ticked off because I got saved, and like 2 weeks later, this really religious guy, like the Jewish leaders in this text, came to me and said, you know, Christians don't wear that shirt. And I said, well, a part of me, I was like, I don't want to be a Christian then. Because I didn't understand the rule and reign and authority that Jesus has in my life. And it wasn't about the shirt. It was about I didn't really want to change who I was. I didn't really want to become more of like who he is. I just wanted to get the ticket to heaven, right? We all want that golden ticket, but not necessarily want to submit to who he is. We want, oh yeah, I'm in heaven. I'm going to heaven, hallelujah. Oh, but wait a minute. You want to have a relationship with me? You want me to submit to you? No, wait, that's not what it says. But that's what it says. James 1:8, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures or creation. That we can be a kind of first fruits for his creation. He's called us forth. Now, if that's you today, you can rejoice in that. If that's you today, you could go home and, yeah, you're probably going to turn on your DVR and watch the Seahawks, but you can rejoice that he called you forth. And you could tell your friends and your family about that, and you could even tell your friends and family and coworkers about that as you're inviting them to come on October 19th to the Harvest Festival, the Fall Festival. That's a little plug, but we need to be inviting people. We need to be showing them that he has rule and reign over all of our lives. Okay? He is self, proof six, he's self-existent. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in, can you read that up there? Is it too small? Himself. It's not up there. They're slow back there. Probably checking their fantasy football scores. Okay. Jesus does not depend on any source outside of himself for life. He has life in himself. Every human being, every one of us depends on God. What do we depend on God? What is our most valuable resource? Breath. We depend on God for air. If we don't have air, we're toast. We depend on him for our next heartbeat. And for all of us, we should be depending on him on how we should proceed moving forward today. How we should proceed saying, yes, Lord, I realize that you're not really on the throne of my life. It's this idol and this idol and this thing and that thing. It's this schedule. It's this plan, my 20-year plan. I met with the guy, and he's like, what's your 10-year plan? I'm like, I don't even know what my next month plan is, let alone my 10-year plan. I'm just not that prepared. It's really hard enough for me to say, we have to have like a six-month calendar here at the church. It's really hard enough for me to follow that. So be praying for me for that, okay? Please. John 1:4-5. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. For us and for these religious leaders in this text, should be catching a clue here. We should be getting this here. Are we getting this? That Jesus is more than just a man. Jesus is just more than just a guy that lived on the earth for 33 years, and we read in text that he was sinless, that he died on the cross for us. But he's more than just a man. He's the author of life. He's our Savior. And for some of us, we don't even grasp that, and that's okay. We want to pray for you at the end on how we can grasp these things. The last point is that he has power to resurrect all people from the grave. Hallelujah. All people. Not just us, not just some, not just different people groups, but all people groups. He's the Lord of all people groups. I know in America a lot of times we get, this could be controversial, but we talk a lot about God on the dollar bill and whatever else. Sometimes we get wrapped up in, like, we think that he's just our God, but he's everybody's God. Right? We get wrapped up in all of these things when we should be wrapped up on how we can be submitting to his authority, submitting to who he is, submitting that he is the author and perfecter of our faith. Do not be amazed at this, and this is verse 28 through 29, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. And those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. And to be honest with you, I'm sure a lot of us read this and we're like, okay, next verse. We don't really want to hear that, but we're all going to rise. For those of us who are in Jesus, we're going to rise to live for eternity. And those of us who are not, we're going to rise to be condemned to hell. That sacred cow, four-letter word nobody wants to say. This tells us that at the end of the world, at the end of life itself, that Jesus is going to call us out of our graves, for those of us who are in our graves, every dead person, and he's going to cast judgment on us. He's going to separate the goats from the lambs, right? And he's not teaching a physical death or the end of existence, but life here on earth is not complete for the span of man. It's not complete. We have our own life. We have one life to live here on earth, but when it's over, it's either we're going to heaven or we're going to hell, right? There is no in between. Jesus says he wants us either hot or cold and not lukewarm. And nobody wants to be lukewarm because it sounds really disgusting, because he says he's going to spew us out of his mouth. That's gross. Every single one of us are going to be affected by it. Verse 28 says, all who are in their graves, and this means all. When all doesn't mean like, well, all doesn't include me. No, all who are in their graves. Is that exciting? It could be scary, I know, for some of us, but for those of us who are in Jesus, we could be excited that our final destination is not here. Not in this place, not looking at the rain, not dealing with our problems that we have, but it's heaven. But our life would be so much easier here on earth if we said, okay, Jesus, we want to submit to who you are. We want to give our life and ourself to who you are, and we want to allow you to rule and reign in authority in our lives. We want you, I know I've said this earlier, we want you to be on the throne of our lives. When we wake up in the morning, Jesus, we want you to be the first thought, not all of these burdens. Because it says that you cast our burdens away. When we wake up in the morning, we want to say, yes, Lord. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 3 says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. Somehow printed on there twice. However you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except through the Holy Spirit. I love at the end of Jesus, as he's ascending into heaven, he tells the disciples to go to Jerusalem and wait. He says, wait. I want you to go to all the world and preach the good news of the gospel, but wait. Wait for the one who has come. I'm going to send you a helper. They're losing their friend. They're losing this Jesus, and they realize he's ascending into heaven. But he says, I have a gift for you, but I want you to wait for it. And I want you to pray for it. So they go and they pray in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit comes. And so that act for us is that we can submit to God and we can submit to the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And we can say, Holy Spirit, would you move? Would you open our hearts? Would you allow us and show us where we are holding on to things in our lives and that we would submit to those things in our lives? Yeah. We would submit to you in those things in our lives. I know as we're going through this preach, I know we're all looking at these things and like, man, there's this thing that's ruling and reigning over my life. Or there's this sickness. Or there's this situation. There's this cloud that's ruling and reigning over my life. I just can't give up more rule and reign. I'm allowing all these issues to reign in my life. And Jesus says, no, I want to reign in your life. And all these other issues are going to subside. Because your hope and your peace and your joy are going to be in me. And all of these things at camp, summer camp, where's the youth at? We had summer camp back in July. My wife is very youthful. And Bo Noonan, we talked about at Mobilize New Community Church. Bo Noonan's the lead pastor there. And he was preaching at Mobilize, or at New Day. And the whole theme of camp was that God is the author of your life. And if you realize that he's the author of our lives and we submit to those things, then we would allow him to continue to write our stories, right? And in those stories, he'd underline things and he would just make this amazing script for us. But a lot of us, and I know even in my own life, we get impatient. This is a quote from him, and I'm probably really butchering this. I wrote it down the best I could. A lot of us get impatient with the way that God is writing our story. The way that he is doing things. So more often than not, we reach up and we grab the pen out of his hand and we write ourselves a tragedy. And I thought that, I was talking with Nicole about that, and I thought, man, that's hits home. More often than not, and Nicole, you can come on up, the band can come on up. More often than not, we're allowing, yes, Lord, we want to submit to you. We call you our Savior. You have the right to rule and reign in our lives. You're on the king. You're the king. You're on the throne of our lives. You're number one. You've captivated my heart. Oh, but wait a minute. I don't like the way things are going. But you're in control, Lord. I don't like the way things are going, so I'm going to write my own story. Does that any of us represent that way? And then we realize it doesn't necessarily take effect when you grab that and you start jotting down your own thoughts or saying, no, I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to do it that way. It doesn't really necessarily affect you until you're too far in and you realize, oh my goodness, what have I done? What am I listening to? What are the lies that the enemy has bringing forth to me today that I'm allowing the enemy to rule and reign? We're, for those of us who are Christians today, that we can rejoice that we are called sons and daughters of the Most High God. What more do we want? What more do we want other than to be our own author? So here's some applications for us today. For us, there are some of us here that either we're newer to the faith or we've been Christians a while or we're not. We would say, I don't even know who Jesus is. And we, at the beginning of this talk tonight, the beginning of what I was saying, that either Jesus is Lord of your life or he's not. And I'm not saying that in a way of like, well, he can choose if he is or not. But no, we tend to say, yeah, Jesus is Lord over my life. And I'm submitting and I'm constantly trying to allow him to rule and reign in my life. Or we're saying, nah, no, it's my life. I'm going to do what I want to do with my life. I'm going to not listen to what Jesus is saying to my heart right now. There's some of you today that Jesus is speaking to your heart and he said, come alive. Come alive, he's saying to you. For some of us, we're spirit in this walk this spiritual darkness. We want to believe that he has brought us out of the spiritual death into the spiritual life. But yet we're still holding on to this real thing of like, no, I don't want to allow him to reveal all those things. I just want to accept the practical for what the practical is. And if that's you today, we want to pray for you. The Bible says that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's just grace here, guys. There is no condemnation. But yet we can come before the Father today, wherever we're at in our walk with him, and say, Lord, you're revealing these things that I'm holding above you, above your rule and reign, above your authority. And Lord, would you crush those things? Would you allow me to lay those things at your feet? Would you rule and reign in my life? So if that's you, would you come up? We're going to play a song, and the elders and their wives and some church leaders would come up and pray for you. I don't want you to be ashamed. I want us to leave change today. And for those of you that are like, yeah, I believe in Jesus. He's my Lord and Savior. But I am walking my own way. I see where I'm veering off this path, and I'm writing my own story, or I'm not allowing him to be ruler and reign over my life. And I just need some guidance. I just need prayer to allow the Holy Spirit to come again. I just need to have people pray with me. If that's you, come up. We want to pray with you. Can we do that? Come up. Can we stand up? And I'm going to pray. Thank you, Father. Lord, would you captivate our hearts? Lord, would you call, and if that's you, you can come up while I'm praying. Would you call those of us today that are struggling, those of us that are saying that I want to put you as ruler and authority in my life, that I want to submit all that I am to all that you are, that you're the author and perfecter of our faith, that you've called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Would you come today and open our hearts and our minds, Lord? Yeah. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that we can rejoice in who you are. Thank you for the reminder that you are actually our author. That you are seated on our throne. Help us to submit to that. Help us to take joy in that. Help us to even know we don't even have to worry about how life is going because you're in control. And that we can take joy in that. Lord, would you bless these people today? Open our hearts, Lord. Help us to not leave here unchanged. Help us to go forth today sharing the good news of your gospel, sharing about how you have called us out of darkness and into your marvelous light. Would you get all the glory and praise? And God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, you guys are dismissed. We love you guys. Have a great day.